And if you don't get anything else from this message, I want you to just get two words that we actually mentioned earlier today. Those two words are, but God. Just but God. Last week we were talking about how we were lost, and in Ephesians chapter 1, we were over here. Those not in Jesus, those not in Christ, that's a legal term we talk about. Being in Christ is so important, because when you're in Christ, you're over here. You're translated out of darkness, out of condemnation, out of pain, out of shame. You're translated from there across the border over into Jesus. Once you're in Jesus, remember in chapter 1, for those of you that weren't here, it says that God, he's chosen us, he's elected us, he has actually adopted us. We're his kids. Once you're in Jesus, you're a child of God. You're someone who is family. You can call Father, Daddy, and you've also been redeemed. You've been washed from your sins. All the things you ever did wrong, you've been washed, you've been cleaned, you've been redeemed. That word redeemed. So God says you've been chosen, you've been adopted, you've been redeemed because you're in Christ. And he said last week, the only way to Jesus, the only way from death, the only way from being here, being translated over into life, there's a port of entry. And that port of entry is Jesus Christ himself. That port of entry is his shed blood on the cross. That port of entry is the fact that Jesus sacrificed his own body for each one of us. Isn't that amazing? That God would die for each one of us, and he did it. You know, God's a very personal God. It's as if, even though he died for the whole world, he died for David. He died for John. He died for Sue. All because of his precious love for us. It's all about that. It's all about coming home into God's family. That's what he wants us to know. And this idea of identity theft in this world we're living in, Satan wants to steal your identity. You yourself, you may have been listening to other people about who you are, what you're all about, what your worth is. And God says, no, 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 no. You're worth much in my heart, much in my way of things, because I love you so much. I died for you. I'm here for you. I want you in my family. That's what it's all about, to be a believer. That's what it's all about, to be a church. That we're a community of believers in Jesus that are now out of darkness right here, translated all the way on this side into life. Does it get any better than that?
Nope.
Does it get any better than eternal life? Because when you die, you know, this is not just the end. It's eternal life with Jesus. Life is hard. Isn't life hard sometimes? Very hard. We have so many different burdens that we go through in our lives. And Jesus says, now that you're in my family, now that you're translated out of there, now that you know who you really are, you're over here in my kingdom, and I'm going to walk with you through this. Yeah, you're going to have burdens. You're going to have troubles in this life. You're going to have times where you're going to want to just give up. You're going to want to, you're going to be in an impossible situation. How many of us have been in impossible situations? A number of us have been, but God has drawn us over them. And this whole, the whole Bible story, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, and there's a but God in that, in those verses. I don't know if you saw it in verse 4. But you know that term, but God, is mentioned 85 times in Scripture. And there's a lot of but God experiences in the Bible. The first but God experience that I can remember that I love is the Ten Commandments. Who saw the Ten Commandments on TV? Anybody? Saw the Ten Commandments? A number of us saw the Ten Commandments. And that is such a cool story because I love it, because it's an impossible situation. It's a situation where the Jews were just released from Egypt. They were slaves 400 years. And God did all these miracles, right? And they get to the Red Sea, and there's no way across. And then the Jewish people start complaining to Moses. Moses, what's the matter with you? You take us all the way out here only to die in the desert? And they're all upset because they see the Egyptians coming. The Egyptians are coming at them. There's no way out. They're all surrounded. And but God. But God. But God. But he said, but God says to Moses, Moses, just lift up that stick and I'm going to part this Red Sea. I'm going to do the impossible, Moses. I'm going to take this, maybe over a million people or more, through this sea. And these Egyptians you're seeing now, you're not going to see them ever again, Moses. But God. That's a but God experience. You may have God experiences in your life. You may have been through some situations where you thought, how in the world am I going to get out of this impossible situation? Or maybe right now, you're in a situation right now, you may be stressing over. You may be thinking like, God, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But God. And this is the amazing thing, that we have a God of the impossible. Do you believe that today? We have a God of the impossible. And there's so many, I don't want to go through it because, you know, I want to have a short message, but probably one of the most amazing "but God" of messages in the New Testament I can find is there was Martha. There was Martha and Mary, and this guy named Lazarus, he croaked, all right? And Jesus wasn't around to help him, and he died. And this is an impossible situation, and Mary and Martha are crying, oh man, and Martha's there at the tomb because it had been 4 days. And, you know, we're going to talk about dead bodies today, right? But Lazarus had been dead 4 days. So by that time, you know what's going to happen to the body, right? Anyway, she's crying, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened, Lord. This would not have happened. And I love this verse, 11:25. And he says, you know, do you believe in me, what I am? And she says, yes, Lord. And I believe Lazarus is going to raise again on the last day at the resurrection. I love this. I actually put this verse in my daddy's coffin, 11:25. God of the impossible, but God. Do you believe that God raises the dead around here? He does raise the dead in more ways than one, we'll see. But that verse he shared to Martha, Martha, don't you know who I am? I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And then, of course, we know what happened. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus says, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And Jesus says, unwrap him. He's not dead. But God, the God of the impossible. I love that. There's a scripture in Matthew, I think it's 19:26. There it is. Boy, it's good at that. Jesus says, he looks at the people and he says, hey, look, guys. And I want you to think about your impossible situation today. I want you to think about, are you in a but God situation today? You need God to do something crazy. Jesus says, look, he says, with man, this is impossible, of course, but with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that today?
Yes.
All things are possible with God. The greatest, in my opinion, besides what we're going to talk about in Ephesians 2, the greatest but God experience, of course, is Jesus at the cross. I love this. I mean, I just get so excited. Hey, guys, if you can't get excited about Jesus on the cross, Satan thought he had won. Everyone was around Jesus. He had been beaten half to death. His beard was pulled out. He was, everyone forsook him. And he said, my God, my God. Even God the Father forsook him on the cross for 3 hours. You know, he turned his back on his only boy for 3 hours. You know that. What happened during that time is a mystery in the sense that, but we know that Jesus took on the whole world's sin. Yours, 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 mine. And the Father didn't want to do it, but he had to turn his way away from his Son. And the whole place became dark. And Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook him for me and for you and for you and you. And Satan thought he had won. So they buried him in the grave. He was all alone and they buried him in the grave. But God. But 3 days later, amen, 3 days later, he burst through the grave and was alive again forevermore. And that's an amazing thing to think about. You know, they didn't have to, you know, it says that they rolled away the stone. They didn't have to roll away the stone because he had already been risen. He burst through with resurrection power, the same resurrection power we're going to talk about in Ephesians 2. He burst through there and broke the chains of death. He defeated Satan at the cross. Satan thought he had won, but he was sadly mistaken because the scripture says in Acts, I think it's 4:26. All right, I was too first. 4:24. But God, see that? But God raised him from the dead. Why? Because it was impossible. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Do you know what we're dealing with today? We're dealing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever burden you have today, guys, leave it with Jesus. Let him take that burden. Know that you have an advocate with you that loves you, that has chosen you, that has adopted you as his son or daughter or prince or princess, and he's redeemed you by his blood. There's no circumstance that you should be so upset about today, because you have a but God, Lord Jesus Christ, who says it is impossible for death to keep his hold on. All that being said, this is our intro to Ephesians chapter 2. And Shine, thank you for reading those scriptures. So if you go to the next slide, basically we're just going to go through here. So we serve the God of the impossible. And in chapter 1, Paul wanted to show us that, you know, you may be thinking a certain thing about who you are, who your identity is. Maybe, again, last week, not to go all over that message, but you may have believed the lie that you're a nobody. You may have believed the lie that you're worthless. You may have believed the lie that you have served no purpose in this world at all. That people judge you for who you are, where you came from, the color of your skin. And God says, no, no, no. You're my precious daughter, you're my precious son. You're something now. You are chosen, you are adopted, you are redeemed. So what Paul wants us to do in chapter 2, as an intro, he wants to bring us back now. And my daddy, I'm very close to my father. I call him daddy. And I'm not, you know, I get emotional talking about that, but he's been dead 30 years. I was 30 when he died. And but he gave me life lessons. And one thing he says, David, never, ever forget where you come from.
Man.
Never forget where you come from. It's so important to remember where you come from. And David, remember who you are. When I would walk out of the shop in his backyard again, at the shop that he did custom upholstery, David, remember who you are. You're a child of the King, David.
Amen.
Remember where you came from, David. Remember that Jesus saved you. Remember that you were healed from an incurable disease, which God did heal you, a Crohn's disease. Remember who you serve. Remember, remember, remember. It's interesting because Jesus later on talks to the church in Ephesus in Revelation. They, you know, they did all these great things, but he says, Jesus says, I have this one thing against you. You lost your first love. And then he gives a recommendation. What I want you to do is remember. Remember how it was in the beginning. Remember where you were at the time, where you were desperate, where you were over here, lost and in sin, and on your way to hell, and all this place. I want you to remember that, because it's very important that you do. Why? Because I don't want you to forget what I did for you. I don't want you to forget that I translated you out of darkness into light. I don't want you to forget that you were a slave, and nobody cared about you. No one ever cared about you the way I cared about you. I want you to remember. So Paul's saying in verse 1, oh yeah, thank you. In verse 1, he says, he's bringing them back now of how it was before they came to Jesus. How it was before. Do you remember how it was? If you're a believer in Jesus today, do you remember how it was before you were a Christian? Before Jesus called you and redeemed you? You may not remember. You might have been young. That's okay. Or if you're not a believer today, do you realize that there's a great opportunity today to come into God's family? There's nothing better. At the end of your life, at Judgment Day, the only thing you're going to be worrying about is, am I in Christ or out of Christ? Am I in Christ and in his kingdom, or am I over here? But Paul's reminding them, remember, the first thing he wants us to remember is that, look, you were dead. You were dead. Dead. In the, you know what dead means? Dead! That's what it means. Nekros, Greek. Nekros, it means dead. And it's funny, I'm really weird, you know? I told one of our first time guests, I'm really a little weird and crazy. But when I was in family court, I interviewed a mortician. And I know, dead bodies, they freak me out a little bit. I don't know if you guys are into dead bodies at all. If you are, I'm, you know. This woman was a mortician. She was a mortician. I had to ask because I was curious. I go, you're a mortician. How'd you get into that? She says, well, it's a very quiet job. And She said that, yeah. I said, and I laughed nervously. And I said, but I want to know, can I ask a question? She goes, okay. And meanwhile, I'm there to talk about her kids, but I got off track because I have ADD. Anyway, I said, what do you do with a dead person? How what happens there when they die? Like, how do you know they're dead? He says, well, they don't respond to stimuli. Obviously, you know they're not. They don't care. You can like poke them, you can do this, you can kick them if you want. Of course, I don't do that. I respect the dead. But, so we get into, you know, how long it takes for rigor mortis to set in. I was curious, right? I mean, not crazy. You guys think about things like that, right? No.
No.
So, I get into that. So, dead means here, necros means literally, you can go back to the verse, it literally means that you're dead, you don't respond to stimuli, and you're dead because of your sins. And Paul's saying, guys, this is past. You were dead because of your sins and trespasses. And right from the Garden of Eden, you know, Satan lied right from the Garden of Eden. He said, you're not going to die if you eat that fruit. And of course, they did die. They didn't die physically, by the way, but they died spiritually. To die spiritually means they're separated from God. You know, their spirit separated from God. They don't understand anything. They can't understand anything spiritually. And then it goes on to say in verse that in which you once walked. That word walk, parapetao, it literally means to wander. It literally means to be aimless in the world. You know, if you know some non-believers, a lot of there's aimlessness going on. There's confusion. And there's actually, it says, they walk following the course of this world. What world? That's the world without Jesus. That's the world that which we live in. That's the world at Rutgers University. You know, you see people doing this, you walk around over there, you're like, oh my God, I'm over here. There's no wandering means to walk off without any purpose. And they're actually following a course in this world, which is really the course of the prince of the power of the air, who's Satan. So what Paul's saying is, guys, you were dead in your sins, and you were following, you were confused. You were so confused, and you were following this course. This is like this track. It means track. There's a track of the world, you know. The world is teaching you certain things. The world is saying certain things about certain things, about morality, about certain things in our society. And Paul is saying, guys, I want you to remember that you were dead, but not only that, you were following these things, these teachings that are so far to your dad, so far, but yet you were trapped in that because you were following the prince of this world, that spirit that's not at work. Constantly, the verb there is it's constantly working. Satan is constantly working to confuse, to make the unchurched, the unknowing of Jesus, to make them so confused. And they're going around in this track. That's what that word means, to wander. The word actually walk means, there means to wander. They're wandering aimlessly. And you see our whole society today, if you can't see it, there's confusion. There's confusion all over the place. Confusion about their identity, confusion about where they come from, confusion about the purpose of life. There's confusion. And Satan is giving them a line. He's giving them a line. No, this is what reality is. This is what love is. This is what it means to really live with purpose. Don't believe the Bible because that's outdated. Don't believe any of that stuff because there's a bunch of junk and garbage. And they're wandering around like this. And what Paul's saying is, don't get too proud. He's saying, you were dead like that. You were actually walking like that. How dare you, when we look at, and I see in our society and churches, when we look at folks like this, what should be our attitude? Our attitude should be like, hey man, I was there too. I was an addict too. We're all sin addicts, right? I was an addict too. I was right there with you. I'm no better than you except that God had mercy on me. I'm no better than you, except God enlightened me by his mercy and grace. And by the way, you know, what he's talking about here, and this is kind of like a play on words. He says, but you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Now here, it's like Walking Dead. You ever watch that series, Walking Dead?
No.
I want to confess that I used to love that series. Until it got a little too weird for me. I don't know, and then like the seventh season. So Dead Man Walking. The world out there, they don't know Jesus, but God is saying here, and you were there, guys, Paul's saying, They're alive, they look alive, they look like everything's cool, but they're actually dead inside. Like you. And not only when you're dead, you don't respond to stimuli. That's why it's so amazing that you could be in the same room, and I've done this. You could see God's word, and one person could go, man, that's so beautiful. I'm so, thank you, Jesus. And the other person can say, I don't get it. How do you believe this garbage? Why? Is that because they're dead? Because it says in Corinthians that if God hasn't enlightened that part of your spirit by his grace, you're not going to get God's word. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much education. There's a lot of people here at Rutgers University, right? And you go for some of your doctorate degrees or this degree. If you're not regenerated by the power of God's spirit, if you're not resurrected spiritually by being born again, that's why Jesus said, hey, you have to be born again. You have to be resurrected spiritually. You have to have this, because if you're not, you're not going to respond to my message. You're not going to understand what I say. So you can go around, you can get all the degrees you want. And if you're not regenerated by the power of God's Spirit, you're just going to be a very smart sinner. You're going to go to all these self-help groups, and you might get out of your addiction, but you're just going to be a very, and go to all your counseling sessions, but you're just going to be a very well-adjusted sinner. You're dead, he's saying. Now, a lot of us don't want to hear that word, because it goes on to say, if you go on to verse 3, he says, among whom we all, that's what Paul said, remember, guys, don't get cocky. You should have an attitude of compassion of folks, not arrogance, not like, well, look at me. And I see in our society, church people sometimes look down on the sinners, and they like go, huh, I'm glad I'm not like that person there. Look at me, man. I'm good. I'm great. And Paul's saying, yeah, only because of God's grace. Only because I had mercy on you, David. Only because you were once here. Don't forget that. And now your attitude should be, in addition to remembering, you know, your past, is to remember that you were like that and to have compassion on the people. That's why we want to be a church that's outward focused. We know it's fun to have the fellowship here. Yeah, of course. But Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, which means that which was beyond repair, that which needed a but God experience. That's what lost means, to be beyond repair, beyond hope. But with Jesus, there's always hope. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what he's saying. So if you go on to verse 3 and 4, so he says, but God, verse 4. So the first three verses are bad news. Paul said, remember this. Then verse 4, boom, but God. But God, he says, you were like this. I want you to remember, but God, look what I did for you guys. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which you loved us. I grew up, it's still hard for me. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm wearing this hat today. You like my hat? Mm-hmm. Free man, you like that? I'm wearing that because I stole it from my friend John Sobosinski. But besides that, I like to say, I go, why are you wearing this hat? Because I'm a free man. I'm free man in Jesus. I was over here, but God, but now I'm over here. I'm free, you see? I don't want to forget that I'm free because Jesus made me free. I don't want to forget that. And it says here, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. I want to be honest with you. I have a self-esteem issue still, sometimes. It's still hard for me. I believe it, but it's hard for me to believe that God loves me. Am I alone with this? Because I know how rotten I am. And come on, don't be looking at me. You guys have your own issues. If I follow you around 24/7, I'm going to find some things that, and I'm not going to follow you around 24/7, don't worry. But because how amazing is God's love, that knowing who we are, knowing that we're still, you know, experientially, he looks at us as perfect, but experientially, we still do some pretty rotten things sometimes. And how amazing that he still loves us. But he's saying, because he's rich in mercy, mercy, that word actually means not getting what you do deserve. Not getting what you do deserve. He said, because of this, because of this great love of which he loved us. Go on to verse 5. He says, even when you were dead in your trespasses, he made us alive. He made us alive. We didn't make ourselves alive. A dead body, can they make themselves alive? Mm-hmm. You know? They can't make only something from the outside. Only God can make them alive. He says, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That word grace, it means unmerited favor. It means there's nothing you can do to earn this grace. I said, wait a minute, God. I'm a sinner. You elected me. You chose me. You adopted me. And you redeemed me by your blood. You gave up everything for me on that cross, Jesus. We're going to celebrate communion today. You gave all that for me. I didn't do anything bad for you. How does that work? He says, because I love you. Because I created you. Because you're mine. I want you to be in my family. I want to take you from this. He wants us to help him take the rest of the world. You see? You get it? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He said, I want you now to remember, then to help me get this message out, that Jesus saves, that Jesus adopts, and he wants to bring more people. Everybody can come. Everyone believes. Come on over into here. He wants us to be here with him. It's a beautiful thing, but sometimes I do struggle with that. But God loves you. Do you believe God loves you? Mm-hmm. He loves you. He loves you, even though you don't deserve it. By grace, unmerited favor. That's what that means. Yeah, and then it says, he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you can go on to verse 7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace, kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There's that term again we talked about last week. It's a legal term. You're in Christ. There's no in between, guys. You're either in Christ over here in his kingdom, or you're out of Christ. There's no like, well, I'm going to decide later on. No. Jesus already says, if you go to verse, I don't have a verse there. Okay. But anyway, you're living in condemnation. If you're not a believer in Jesus, if you're saying, I'm on the fence here. I don't know what to do. I'm neutral. You can't be neutral. It's either yes for Jesus or no for Jesus. There's no in between. There's no in between. But it's all because of his grace. And notice that now Paul is saying, this is not it, but there's an amazing future. If you're in Christ, I want you to also remember that this life is not the end here. This life is not, there's going to be coming ages. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back for his kids soon. He's going to correct everything wrong with this messed up world. Can't you see this world is in need of a Savior? It's more messed up and confused and wandering than ever. He says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to wipe away every tear. I'm going to right every wrong. Politicians aren't going to do that. Education's not going to do that. Your career's not going to do that. Only Jesus can do that. It's all Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Center of my life, Jesus. And I love, we sang a song, your grace is enough, all because of his grace. And Paul got that last verse, and we're going to go into communion. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 1:15, 16. He said, look, this is a trustworthy, and I'm paraphrasing because I knew, I think the King James Version. This is a trustworthy saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Another version says, of whom I'm chief. Paul's saying, I don't get it. I murdered you people before. I was running you down, but God just zapped me and had mercy on me. He called me out of darkness and chose me to bring this message of the gospel, the good news, all over the world. I don't get it, but here's the deal. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, and I'm the worst one, guys. Isn't that crazy? God's grace is scandalous. Amen. God's grace is like counterintuitive to the world. God's grace is amazing. His grace is enough. His grace is enough. It reaches to the skies. His grace is enough, like the song says. And he said, look, guys, I'm the worst, but I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, as the foremost, meaning the worst sinner, in me, I can be an example to those out here that need Jesus, because in me, they're going to see the patience and the example for those those are going to believe on him. They're going to see, well, if he can become a Christian, I can too. If this guy was so down and out and lost, and I remember this guy, he was a drug addict. I remember this guy, he was a homeless derelict. He was a criminal. He was, you feel the blank in, but that's, Jesus has great, he loves it. Heaven, all heaven rejoices when people come to him. And he's saying, man, if that happens to me, it can happen to all y'all. His grace is amazing. So, Paul wanted us to remember that in chapter 2. He wants to remember, yes, our identity, but remember that where we come from, remember that we're not, once you're a Christian, you're not just here just to be here. This isn't what this is all about. We need to be out there going to bring other people to know God, to know Jesus. But in a way that's not like judgmental. In a way that's not like, well, look at what it, you know, in a way like, hey guys, I'm just, I stole this from somewhere else, but you've heard it probably. I'm just a beggar showing another beggar where to find bread, who's Jesus. And that's really what the gospel really is. So he wants us to have these hearts that are full of his love, that understand where we come from, never forget that, but also remember that we have a future in him. Go back to the last slide, that it's not just now, it's like we're going to have a party in heaven. We're going to be celebrating forever in heaven. It's going to be crazy, amazing, and this is just the beginning. And this is just the beginning of Rock 2.0, by the way. We're going to see the heavens open up. We're going to see God do amazing things. I want you to pray about joining us here to reach the hurting and hungry people, be part of this new and growing church family, and to see what God can do, because God is the God of the impossible. And along the way, I want to get to know everybody and be real family and really grow our faith together. Because out there, why do you want to mess with this out there? God wants you to be over here where there's true purpose, true peace, and that's what it's all about. But the only way is through the cross. The only way, a port of entry like last week, is through Jesus himself. And that's why we're celebrating today. We have our communion, and there's a scripture that Paul shared. Paul wasn't at the Last Supper. The Last Supper was the first communion, really Passover. And he said, look, I'm going to just tell you what was shared to me, and I'm going to do the same thing with you guys, and you know the scripture. Paul says, look, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, matzah, unleavened bread. And I love this as a picture of what he did for us. And he says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. This is my body, which is for you. For you and you and you and you and me on that night. He saw today on that night. Isn't that crazy? God saw. He saw. He knows you from the beginning of the foundations of the world. He knew you. This is no accident that you're here today. And he says, it's broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do this, remember me. Remember I was broken for you. Remember I bled for you. Remember I was scorned for you. Remember I was forsaken on the cross for you. Because I love you, and I want you in my family. And then verse 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup that's in the new covenant, which is my blood. His blood is shed for us. And he says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we want to remember Jesus today. We want to remember, just like Paul says, remember where you come from. We want to remember that today. That's what this is all about. Passover. Same thing. Remember that I brought you out of Egypt, people. Remember I brought you out of that. But also remember that I love you. Remember that there's more work for you. So if you're a believer in Jesus today, if you've taken him as your Lord and Savior, we're going to be passing around the elements. I want you to take that. Scripture says to examine your heart before you do this, to make sure that you're okay with God, because it's a big deal to have that. Even though you see it's just the bread and the wine, grape juice. But God is here. Wherever two or more are gathered, He's in our midst. He's here among us. His Spirit is here, and God's Spirit works during communion time. If you're not a believer in Jesus today, you haven't. If you know you're going to die today, you're right here. You know you're here. What's stopping you from coming to Jesus? Coming to his broken body, to Jesus? I want you. I want to be in your family. I want to know if I died today, I'd be with you. I want to be your child, Lord. I don't want to live that way. I want to know your forgiveness. I want to know what it's like to be clean. I don't want to fake this. I'm tired of fake. The whole world's fake. I want to know you for real. Jesus, forgive me. I know you're God Almighty. Father, have mercy on me, Lord. Give me a new life in you. Make it real for me. I love this scripture. Jesus says in John 6:37, he says, he who comes to me, I will never, ever drive away. I don't care how dirty you are, I don't care where you've been. If you come to me, I will never, ever drive you away. Isn't that beautiful? You take one step to Jesus, and he says, you're in the family. I'm gonna pull you in. You're not gonna get away. I love you so much. I died for you. If you're not a believer, let's all bow our heads. And we'll pray over the communion. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you that you called us out of darkness into your light. Lord, may we remember what you've done for us. May we not be arrogant as we look at sinners, knowing that we ourselves are just forgiven sinners. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're trying to say through this message, through your scripture. But God, I pray for all of our burdens, all of our anxieties. We have a lot today. We lay it at your feet, Jesus. Take every single person's burden. Lord Jesus, we cast it on you. Make it real to them today. Lord Father, we pray for those in here today that don't know you for sure. They're not certain, Lord. I pray you would touch them and make the reality of your love real to them. And with all our heads closed, you know, I don't do this often, but if you're in here, you know, Jesus calls everyone publicly. He calls everyone publicly. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. And if you're not sure you're a Christian today, all I simply want you to do, you want to know Jesus today, all I simply want you to be to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Everybody, I just want you to raise your hand and say, yes, I want you today, Jesus. I want to know for sure that I'm yours. And what I want to do then is pray for you and give you some literature where we can further explain the gospel. You can't explain it totally in a 30-second message, but if there's anyone like that, just raise your hand and say, okay, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know that I'm forgiven and I'm with him today. Is there anyone that God is talking to today? Thank you very much. And God bless you. And you know, Jesus is real in this place. And Jesus, thank you for the fact that you tell us if we come to you, you never drive us away. Thank you, Father. Pray for those people that did raise their hand, Father, that you would give them your peace and assurance. Thank you for everything you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name.